VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. We will be having quite a bit of reaction today to the State of the Union address. But before we get to that, I think it's important we carve out some time for another important issue, should I say an announcement. This morning, I received word that Dr. John C. Whitcomb, founder and president of Whitcomb Ministries, went home to be with the Lord last night in his sleep. He was 95 years old. He was a theologian, also a young earth creationist. As a matter of fact, Dr. Whitcomb was known as one of the fathers of the modern creation movement. He, along with Dr. Henry Morris, had co-authored the Genesis flood that really propelled the creation movement. And joining us today for just a brief time, we have invited Paul Scharf to come on with us. Since 2003, Paul has been a ministry assistant for Whitcomb Ministries. Paul, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Paul, I know you have just great admiration for Dr. John Whitcomb, who really left behind a significant legacy.
Yes, Jim. He was just an incredibly engaging teacher of the Bible, and that is why one of the reasons we chose back in 1994, my wife and I, to go off to Faith Baptist Theological Seminary in Ankeny, Iowa, because I looked and saw that I would have the opportunity there to sit under Dr. Whitcomb, and eventually did that in 10 seminary courses that I took with him. And they were really just life-changing, as many of his students, he's taught thousands of students all over the world, and many have testified over the decades how he has had an impact on them and his teaching that he's been engaged in since 1951 when he became a professor at Grace Theological Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana, where he served until 1990. He lived in just an amazing life and just the most incredibly interesting history you could imagine, as I'm sure many of our listeners know some of those details. But just a wonderful testimony of coming to Christ in his college years at Princeton University, and how that story in itself was something he could use for the rest of his life. And
a very interesting testimony. I mean, he was an evolutionist. He was not a believer in God, was he?
Right. He was raised in a nominally Christian home setting, but not at all devoted to Scripture like he would certainly become. And he became a believer, and then he became, under the influence of Dr. Henry Morris at Grace Seminary, he became a creationist. And, of course, they became a team that wrote the Genesis flood and transformed the Christian world, really, with the truths of young earth creationism.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that book, I mean, just, what was it, a couple years ago, just celebrated its 50th year, a year or so ago?
That was actually in 2011. It was published in 1961.
Okay.
And that was 2011. A new edition came out for the 50th anniversary, and we celebrated that. And, of course, the story of that book coming to print is just a whole story in itself back in 1961. But what an impact that has had. And, of course, it really impacted not only the Christian world, but had such a tremendous impact in Dr. Whitcomb's life and ministry, and gave him opened so many doors of opportunity for him going forward, you know, up until the present.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I recall some years ago, Dr. Whitcomb had given me a photocopy out of his personal journal, and I'm sure you have seen it, dated May 19th, 1947, and I'm reading right from it. It says, when I went to religious lecture and gave Professor Thomas a copy of Therefore Stand to look at, this is his writing, went to the last history 312 lecture on the contribution of the Middle Ages. I studied my history 312 text on the church history 1300 to 1400. You talked about ran around the field for exercise. Mr. Larson didn't arrive till 6:40, and Mr. F. came to bring some missionary pamphlets at 7:30. We showed the God of Creation at Frick. That would be Frick Christian or Chemistry Auditorium. And then it says over 200 came, including Albert Einstein.
Yeah, he loved to tell that story. And he told it many, many times. And wherever you were with Dr. Whitcomb, one thing that I want to make sure to get in, that those who only perhaps saw him on television or heard him on the radio, he was always the exact same person in private, in personal conversations as he was in public. Mm-hmm. He was just such a welcoming person, and he just had a tremendous heart for people, whether it was in his classroom, in a ministry conference somewhere, in a church on Sunday morning. He just loved people, and people loved him.
Yeah.
And he loved to interact with people, have his picture taken, sign books, pray with people, whatever it was. And also, as you alluded to with Einstein, he was constantly witnessing to people wherever he went, in multiple languages that he could speak, and with tracts in multiple languages that he would take.
Yeah, my. Paul Scharf is with us today, Ministry Assistant for Whitcomb Ministries. If you've just joined us, Dr. John Whitcomb, founder and president of Whitcomb Ministries, went home to be with the Lord last night in his sleep. Paul, I'll never forget many years ago when you and Dr. Whitcomb came here to Milwaukee. It was yourself, Dr. Whitcomb, Vic Eliason, and myself. We went sat down to lunch and discussed and strategized the launching of a weekly radio program, Encounter God's Truth, which we began in September of 2011. It's not too many folk that really launch a radio ministry in their mid to late 80s, is there?
Right. Yeah, and and we had to convince Dr. Whitcomb that he could do that in his late 80s, that and that it was really the thing to do, because he really couldn't travel anymore. It was his traveling was really coming to an end at that point, and for years he had thrived on traveling all over the country, and earlier all over the world, to teach seminary classes as well as to preach in churches, do all kinds of different conferences and special events where he would speak. But of course that was coming to a close quickly at that time, and by the grace of God and in his providence, and with help from great friends like you and everyone at BCY who gave us such tremendous assistance, he was able to do that, to begin that radio ministry, and we praise God for that opportunity that we still have.
Paul Scharf here with us. The message that came out from Whitcomb Ministries this morning says, "Dear friends, it is with a mixture of sorrow and joy that we inform you that Dr. John C. Whitcomb entered into heavenly glory last night in his sleep. While we will miss him dearly and are deeply saddened at his passing, we know that he is now with the Lord, awaiting the resurrection and reunion with all believers in Christ. Apparently, he spent his final waking hours working on a paper that he was writing. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Paul, Dr. Whitcomb, writing this a paper, was active in ministry even up until the time the Lord called him home.
Yeah, that is an amazing little anecdote. You know, he had such tremendous devotion to Scripture and to his teaching ministry, and he obviously showed through in the quality of his teaching, and he was really, in his own way, something of a visionary, though he was not a technological person at all in his, you know, his personal desire or interests or experience, but he was something of a visionary in the sense that he saw ahead of wanting to produce material of quality, and he always aspired to do that, and he could give lots of examples about that, but just one that would be really clear to our listeners is his famous Bible charts, including his chronological charts that have gone all over the world. And because of his desire to do something that would last, not only the substance of it, but the format of it, those charts live on, for instance, as being reproduced in the MacArthur Study Bible, and in that way, in addition to just their own life, you know, have gone to millions of people.
Yeah. Paul Scharf, you've had many, many precious times with Dr. Whitcomb, and before we let you go, is there any particular cherished moment that you've had with him that you'd like to share?
Well, it would be hard to even single one out. I remember when I first met him, and again, it would just be of the very first day of class back in 1994 in the class that I had with him. He would come up and shake your hand as if he was meeting an old friend. I just the last communication I had with him was a card that I sent him at the end of this past year that I know that he read. And I might just share, too, Jim, the verse that he would want us to focus on even more than any personal memory is 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That was really Dr. Whitcomb's life verse, and he viewed it as a restatement of the Great Commission by the Apostle Paul of exactly how we're to carry that the ministry of teaching out, and that's what Dr. Whitcomb would want us to do, and we thank God for 1,100 sermons of his we've been able to place on sermonaudio.com that are there that people can get his information and continue to learn from it.
Paul, thank you so much for sharing these remembrances with us. And again, as he just mentioned, he's got many, many sermons at sermonaudio.com. Also, his website, whitcombministries.org, whitcombministries.org. And you'll learn more about him, including his testimony there, the conversion of an evolutionist. And you can see that right there on the website as well. Paul, thank you for carving time out, and certainly our sympathies. You had a close relationship with him, and to the Whitcomb family as a whole, we rejoice that he is now with his Savior.
Well, I thank you, Jim. I'm sure the family thanks you, and we love Dr. Whitcomb, and we certainly appreciate all you have done for him and for Whitcomb Ministries, and we just rejoice, as you said, that he is with the Lord, and may God bless all who have that hope with him.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Paul. Thank you for carving out the time to being with us here today on Crosstalk.
Blessings to you, Jim. Thanks so much.
Sure thing. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That was Paul Scharf, who has, since 2003, been a ministry assistant for Whitcomb Ministries. Dr. John C. Whitcomb, founder and president of Whitcomb Ministries, went home to be with the Lord last night in his sleep. He was 95 years old, a theologian, a young earth creationist, and he was known as one of the fathers of the modern creation movement, along with Dr. Henry Morris, who they, too, had co-authored The Genesis Flood that really propelled the modern creation movement. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. We'll come back and discuss last night's events at the State of the Union, and we'll give you opportunity to be participating in the program as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Was that also covered by the waters of Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible says that the entire earth was covered by water, but I really don't think Mount Everest existed at the time of the flood. Mount Everest, and indeed all the mountain chains in the world, are made up of ocean bottom sediments. These sediments were deposited as mud at the bottom of the flood ocean. Late in the flood, they were uplifted into our present mountain chains. In fact, at the top of Mount Everest are fossils of ocean bottom clams. This does not mean that the floodwater sloshed over Mount Everest. Sediments which now make up Mount Everest were deposited at the bottom of the flood ocean and then uplifted to form Mount Everest. Chris, the entire world was altered by the great flood of Noah's day. This we're told when we go back to Genesis.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America as we turn now to last night's State of the Union address, and quite a powerful address it was. I'm going to give you a lot of reaction from different sources, and we then will give you opportunity as well. As we heard from the Daily Wire, they mentioned on Tuesday, House Speaker Representative Nancy Pelosi broke tradition when she refused to announce President Donald Trump properly before the State of the Union address. Normally, they would say it is their high privilege and distinct honor to introduce to you the President of the United States, but she instead just said members of Congress, the President of the United States. This followed the president not shaking her hand when he delivered the speech there. Very interesting scenario that developed. But as noted on the Daily Wire on Tuesday, the State of the Union address was boycotted by some eight House Democrats, apparently as a protest of the president. That included Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Representative Presley out of Massachusetts, Al Green, Steve Cohen. There was Earl Blumenauer, Hank Johnson, Frederica Wilson, and Maxine Waters. AOC said, after much deliberation, I've decided I will not use my presence at a state ceremony to normalize Trump's lawless conduct and subversion of the Constitution. And then also, here is a statement that came as well. Bernie Sanders noted that he would be skipping the address. Another statement, to think that I would attend the State of the Union to hear the message of an impeached president, this is Maxine Waters, is a thought that in no way would be consistent with my fight and struggle against the dishonorable president. I will certainly not be there, Waters posted. Well, NBC News, this is coming to us from Newsbusters, several articles. NBC News reacted Tuesday night with disdain, disgust, arguably venom toward President Trump and the address. Savannah Guthrie griped about the partisan rancor, very confrontational language on health care. Meet the Press moderator Chuck Todd stated it was so far removed from a traditional and normal State of the Union and instead served as a conservative checklist, campaign checklist, to goose the base. The Capitol Hill correspondent Cassie Hunt complained that there was more campaign-like and partisan than I've covered. I just cannot underscore how poisonous the atmosphere in here felt throughout this speech. On Good Morning America Wednesday, George Stephanopoulos and the White House correspondent Jonathan Carl talked about this as well. They said the scene inside the House chamber for the president's speech was a reflection of a deeply divided America. The tone was set even before the president started speaking. The president rejected Nancy Pelosi's outstretched hand. Carl justified Democrat outburst by touting how Trump attacked Californian socialism, saying, but this was Trumpian optimism, boasting of his success while offering a dark view of his political opponents. The speaker's jaw dropping as Trump attacked the state of California. CBS, a journalist, praised the master showman. President's incredible remarks that were restrained showcased a strong record on the economy and emotionally compelling stories about great Americans. They even refer to the president as he spoke. Pelosi was left pursing her lips, almost looking ill at some of the remarks made as the president touted his accomplishments and those of his administration, including a strong record on the economy. The Human Rights Campaign, that's a pro-LGBT organization, saying the dissembler-in-chief uses State of the Union to seed harmful lies. During last night's State of the Union, HRC highlighted Trump's record on demonizing immigrants, cutting funding for, and by the way, he didn't, folks, he talked about illegal immigration, but they also talked about cutting funding for HIV and AIDS and placing anti-LGBTQ judges on the bench at all levels, they complained. From Newsbusters, a day after conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh announced that he had been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, he surprised Limbaugh and the audience by revealing that not only would Limbaugh receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, but it would also be done immediately, and that was assisted by the First Lady. Just seconds after Donald Trump ended the third State of the Union speech, MSNBC's Brian Williams immediately bashed it as dark, bizarre, and unusual, with many points that differed from the truth, he said. Williams said, hard to put how unusual this was from the Speaker of the House standing by, pointedly ripping up the text of the speech. And indeed, as those who watched saw, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, she is the third in line to be the President of the United States, dominated the headlines following the State of the Union address. After standing directly behind the president, ripped the speech for all the world to see, later telling the press that she did so because it was a dirty speech and shredding it was better than the alternative. Shortly after, the White House issued its official response to Pelosi's viral moment, saying, quote, Speaker Pelosi just ripped up one of our last surviving Tuskegee Airmen, the survival of a child born at 21 weeks, the mourning families of Rocky Jones and Kayla Miller, a service member's reunion with his family, the White House said, or rather tweeted, that's her legacy. President Trump called on Congress yesterday to ban late-term abortion, saying every child is a miracle of life. Here's a brief audio clip.
In 2017, doctors at St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City delivered one of the earliest premature babies ever to survive. Born at just 21 weeks and 6 days and weighing less than a pound, Ellie Schneider was a born fighter. Through the skill of her doctors and the prayers of her parents, little Ellie kept on winning the battle of life. Today, Ellie is a strong, healthy 2-year-old girl sitting with her amazing mother, Robin. In the gallery, Ellie and Robin, we are glad to have you with us tonight. Ella reminds us that every child is a miracle of life. And thanks to modern medical wonders, 50% of very premature babies delivered at the hospital where Ellie was born now survive. It's an incredible thing. Thank you very much. Our goal should be to ensure that every baby has the best chance to thrive and grow just like Ellie. That is why I'm asking Congress to provide an additional $50 million to fund neonatal research for America's youngest patients. That is why I'm also calling upon members of Congress here tonight to pass legislation finally banning the late term abortion of babies. Whether we are Republican, Democrat, or independent, surely we must all agree that every human life is a sacred gift from God.
And President Trump, an excerpt from last evening as he addressed that particular issue. We also have coming from CBN what they call the top five most beautifully stunning moments at the State of the Union. They mentioned the confrontation of socialism, standing in direct defiance of the socialist debacle in Venezuela. President Trump surprised most observers by introducing the true and legitimate president of Venezuela, Juan Guaido, who was sitting in the House gallery. He's the opposition leader. He's been selected by Venezuelan lawmakers to become president of the country, but dictator Nicolas Maduro still clings to power through violent force. Item number two was taking a pro-life stand. The president introduced a little girl who had survived even though her mom gave birth only 20 weeks into her pregnancy, a stage at which some babies are still aborted because pro-choice advocates say they're not viable. Number three, they say reuniting a military family. President Trump honored military families several ways throughout the night, applauding Brigadier General Charles McGee, one of the last surviving Tuskegee Airmen, the first black fighter pilots who fought against Nazi Germany in World War II. He also honored the courage of a wife and son of a service member who was killed by a roadside bomb, explained that it was for families like theirs that he took action to eliminate Iran's architect of terror in Iraq. But the happiest moment came when he later introduced another military wife and her two young children. And in a sudden twist, he announced that their husband and daddy, Sergeant First Class Townsend Williams, had just returned from the front of Afghanistan, reuniting the family right then and there inside the Capitol. Number four was honoring an American victim of ISIS. The president introduced Carl and Marsha Miller, whose daughter Kayla was captured, tortured, killed by ISIS terrorist leader al-Baghdadi himself. Then also the number five was the last minute Medal of Freedom that was given to Rush Limbaugh. That was the top five from CBN, what they call the most beautifully stunning moments at the State of the Union. As we mentioned, all of that ripped up in the hands of Nancy Pelosi. Planned Parenthood despises President Donald Trump, reports LifeNews.com. Planned Parenthood wants the abortions to be legal for any reason up to birth, and it's dumping huge amounts of money into the 2020 election to push its agenda. Matter of fact, their headline, Planned Parenthood rips Trump's SOTU speech, State of the Union speech. He just wants to control our bodies, they tweeted out. Matter of fact, so it was not only Nancy Pelosi who ripped the speech, it was Planned Parenthood as well. By the way, I'm going to provide you some contact phone numbers. I'm going to give you a number for the White House comment line. If you want to leave a comment at the White House, whether you agree or disagree with the president on the speech last evening, I also am going to provide for you phone numbers for Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, number three in line of the presidency. Whether you agree or disagree with her ripping up the speech on national television immediately after the last word was spoken by President Donald Trump. So I have numbers for her as well as for the White House comment line. Here they go. The White House comment line, 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. Speaker Nancy Pelosi, her D.C. office is 202-225-4965. That's 202-225-4965. And if you find that line is busy, she also has an office in San Francisco that conveys messages to her as well. That number is 415-556-4862. Again, the San Francisco office number is 415-556-4862. The other item of note last evening as well was the ejection that happened from the State of the Union. It was an outburst by a guest that was brought there by Nancy Pelosi. And it was dealing with the issue of gun violence in the schools in particular. And a tragic story where this individual's child had been a loss due to gunfire there. Others have made comment, had there been a teacher with a gun, that these precious lives, no doubt, could have been spared. That is not going to be our issue today, though. We are opening phone lines to give your reaction to the State of the Union address. That number here at Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your reaction to what you heard last night in the speech or to what transpired there at the speech last night. Our number, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Do you take time daily to study the Word of God? Do you go through the Bible systematically and read with comprehension? Do you desire to learn more than what you have in the past? VCY America is offering a package set of four books by Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. These Bible study books provide a systematic approach to help you gain better understanding of the Bible. Included in this set is 90 Days Through the New Testament in Chronological Order, providing overviews, powerful insights, and personal application. 40 Days Through Genesis, discover the story that started it all. 40 Days Through Daniel, revealing God's plan for the future. And 40 Days Through Revelation, uncovering the mystery of the end times. These four books are available as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $49 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. Don't let the lack of a Bible study plan keep you from daily devotions. Call 1-800-729-9829.
So again, for this segment, we're taking your phone calls on your reaction to the State of the Union last night, the address or things that transpired. Matter of fact, the president last night said the State of our Union has never been better, focusing on the economy, on taxes, foreign policy, national security, immigration, health care, education, abortion, paid family leave, energy, criminal justice reform, welfare. If you had like to comment on those issues in response to the address last night, or again to what transpired last night at the address, our number 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Pensacola. Julie, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I just want to make a comment about Nancy Pelosi. She must not really care that our country is thriving, because she rips up those papers and acts the way she does. She's very childish in her behavior. And for the fact that she's leading Congress in this manner, I wouldn't want her in office. It's time that we, as citizens, need to make sure that we are at the primaries, making sure that we don't put trash in that house again.
Okay, thank you for your comments here today. And let's go to another Floridian. We have Michael calling next. You're on the air, Michael.
Yes, sir. I'd like to congratulate the president on what he has done and what he's doing. I'm a CDL truck driver. I drive all across the United States, and I see buildings going up. Construction, carpenters are working. Plumbers are working. Jobs are out there. Billboards advertising for help, pleading for help for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
This man has taken this country from decades and turned it around in a very short time. And I agree with what one lady said I heard this morning. The thing is, he should be called President Trump. We should put a cape on his back and a big S on his shirt and call him Superman. He's done a super good job, and Nancy Pelosi needs to go.
Thank you for your comments, Michael. We have Annalise calling from Toledo, Oregon. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I'm calling to first say how much we appreciated hearing the State of the Union address by President Trump. I couldn't figure out which line item he mentioned that I was most touched by. There were so many. My husband and I were both in tears. Of course, Rush Limbaugh's health situation is really sad, but that the president honored him with the American Freedom Award,
mm-hmm,
was amazing, and such a credit to this man's years of work standing up for America, standing up for Trump. The behavior of Nancy Pelosi is just deplorable. She's a disgrace to her own House of Representatives, and certainly for the Democrats. If I were a Democrat, I would so wish she would be made to step down, because she really is an embarrassment. Her behavior was totally unprofessional. And as the previous caller said, childlike, but more than childlike, just uncalled for. She, just absolutely unbelievable that she could behave so badly in front of the viewing audience. And for those listening to realize she would not even address the president at all when she first came in and, you know, stood up for the House of, announcing the House of Representatives. What an immature and unprofessional person she is to consider she is Speaker of the House.
Annalise, were you disappointed that President Trump didn't shake her hand when she put out her arm?
No. I thought that was totally appropriate. I think her behavior signaled, I do not wish to shake hands with you. I will not even sully my hand by shaking hands with you. What was he to do? Shake her elbow? No. That was just so uncalled for and really unprofessional on her part.
Annalise, thank you for your reaction.
Thank you very much for putting this on. And again, Jim, thank you for your excellence in programming. I'm glad to hear that, or at least I hope, that you were as outraged by her conduct as I was appreciative.
Well, Annalise, I'll be honest with you. After the speech, I actually made a phone call myself to her office to share my views on the issue.
Well, I'm going to.
And I that's her number's there for people to do that. I'll be repeating those later as well.
Yes.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Got to run on. Rose is next. You're on the air, Rose in Wisconsin. Hello, Rose.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Rose, please go ahead with your comments.
Sure. So my comment is, I was really taken aback.
Rose, you need to turn off your radio. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. I'd like you to go to your radio, turn it down, and when I come back to the phone, just listen to the phone, please. Let's go to Racine, Wisconsin. Lat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I just want to comment on the State of the Union address. I think President Trump did an excellent job. He touched base on a lot of topics, and I think it was really ridiculous that Nancy Pelosi ripped up the speech at the end of the speech, or the paper speech, ripped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had Boehner in there, we had Paul Ryan, when they didn't agree with Obama and we didn't agree with things that Obama did, we still didn't disrespect the presidency by ripping up a speech. And the Democrats are so childlike. They just act like little children when they pout and don't get their way. So she really showed, Nancy showed, Pelosi showed the Democrat Party how immature they really are, Jim.
Okay, Lev, thank you for your comments. We're going to go back to Rose now in Waukesha. Rose, you're on the air. We want to hear your comments.
Yes. I'm calling in because I was really taken aback by how Nancy Pelosi was acting after the speech, and I thought it was very rude that she tore those papers up, and my thought was how disrespectful that was toward the president.
Okay.
So I think President Trump is doing a good job, and I'm going to vote for him again when it's time to vote.
Rose, thank you for your comments here today. Duluth, Minnesota, Leslie is calling. You're on the air, Leslie.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
I just want to say thank you very much for opening your lines. I can't believe how wonderful this... I do believe how wonderful that speech was last night. President Trump did a wonderful job. He hit on all the topics I thought were needed, and he introduced some really special people. And 2-year-old Nancy Pelosi has shown her evil side. When will she ever grow up?
Thank you for your comments, Leslie.
Do you have any insight as to why she couldn't wait until she got home to tear up the paper if she were that angry?
I don't have insight into that other than she said it was, a dirty speech. This was something, the term she used was kind of like the kindest or politest thing she could do at that time. So I'm not sure what else was going through her mind at the time, but nonetheless, that's the action she chose to take. Thank you for the call. St. Mary's, West Virginia, we have Russell calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, Nancy and the women in white, if they think their honor and the women's suffrage movement by acting that way, I think they're doing just the opposite.
Hmm.
And I'm just going to have to leave it at that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Doug in Letcher, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yes. Say, with Pelosi's actions, would that be a violation of the code of ethics at all?
I don't know what their code of ethics, it says on issues like this. It's something we've never seen before happen in the chamber. It does call into question, certainly, the ethics of what she did. Some have referred to it as being, very childish behavior that is going on there. But I don't know if any rule was broken as such. I'm just not familiar with enough to know that. But, Doug, I'm taking your outrage by it.
All right.
Okay, thank you. John in South Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I was watching Nancy's eyes last night. Eyes. You're listening to the president. And then I said, I don't believe what I'm seeing. I saw this ripping up of the speech. I said to myself, wow, if I was like that for my employer, I don't think I'd be working there too long.
Hmm.
The other thing is, which is rather interesting, is President Trump gets, what, 93-94% negative. Every newscast, it's about how bad he is, how bad he is. I don't know how this man trots on in life, nor his family, but it's kind of like maybe even being a Christian, now that I think about it. It's like they beat you down, laugh at you, but guess what? I'm still going to church, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's my comment, Jim, and thank you so much for your ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Las Cruces, New Mexico. Yvonne, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling to say that. I believe the Bible says something about that not only are we supposed to pray for those in leadership, but we're also, it says something about not to be ashamed, that we're supposed to be ashamed to speak evil of dignitaries. And also that Nancy Pelosi, she says she prays for the president, but if she truly prays for him, then why doesn't she want good for him? Because we pray for people, we want good things for them.
Hmm. Okay, thank you for that. We, you know, saw many talk about the, you know, the rates of unemployment and historic lows that are taking place there. And yes, indeed, we saw Nancy Pelosi just stoic. I mean, just no applause when we talk about the record low black unemployment and record low Hispanic unemployment and such a division is happening there, even in the auditorium itself, in the congressional chambers, I should say, that there was, you know, a significant group that was not thankful that that was taking place. Let's go to Karen in Kentucky. You're on the air, Karen.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
I want to say that each speech he has made the last 3 years has been according to what is going on in our country. This year, you had to think about what his point was and what it is he was trying to pull us all together and to work together. And thank God, God is with him and helping him. And I hope that everybody out there realizes that we don't have any other chances but to choose him and pray for him with all our heart. Thank you.
Thank you for your thoughts. Karen, Brent in Venice, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to make a couple comments on last night's speech.
Mm-hmm.
One, Nancy Pelosi gave him a very edited introduction, which has never been done before. Two, President Trump handed her a copy of the speech with his right hand. She received it with her left hand. You shake hands with your right hand. And he turned. Good chance she never saw him. Two, or three, when you say you're snubbing somebody, you're giving somebody else more importance and taking away from another person. Vice President Pence was up on the stage. He did not shake the Vice President's hand either. So either he snubbed Nancy and the Vice President, which I'm sure he didn't do, or he didn't snub anybody. It was just very petty, and thank God we have him in there. Thank God he's fighting for the unborn. Thank God he's trying to get prayer back in the school, and thank God for him. I hope we have another 4 years.
Brent, thank you. Thank you for your comments here today. Taking your calls, we're just a half a minute from a break, so we're going to take the break and come back to more of your calls here at Crosstalk 800-733-9829. Again, if you'd like to make your comments to the White House, yay or nay, regarding what the president had to say, you have the White House comment line at 202-456-1111. 456-1111. To Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office, her D.C. office, 202-225-4965, 225-4965, and her San Francisco office, 415-556-4862, 415-556-4862. We'll be back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Continuing our series on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with cultural Marxists, it's fine to debate them, but if you have a discourse or dialogue, you're trying to merge your worldview with theirs, and that will dilute your worldview. Well, when you do this, you're falling into trap number 7. You're agreeing to put yourself into the cultural Marxist arena of conflict and to be marginalized and characterized and compromised. Now, you can see this happen right in front of your face on social media. Someone expresses a biblical worldview, a conservative idea, and what happens? People all around them start attacking them. They find themselves being marginalized, characterized, and sadly, many of them will compromise. They'll be involved in compromise by being silent and backing down, or simply going along with the group to fit in. But how did this whole psychological process get started? By agreeing to be involved in some kind of discourse or dialogue with the cultural Marxist, and you set yourself up.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. In just a short time, the United States Senate will be convening and casting their votes on the impeachment of President Donald Trump. Coming out just within the last hour, we learned Senator Mitt Romney is going to be voting to convict President Donald Trump. That's Republican Senator Mitt Romney is going to vote to convict Donald Trump on these articles of impeachment. Back to the phone lines today. Let's go to Elsie, who is calling in from Florida. Elsie, you're on the air.
Yes, my opinion is, both of them are same way. Pelosi and Trump, both of them are same way. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Elsie. Ron in Coshocton, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Jim. When Nancy Pelosi extended her hand, it looked to me that maybe Donald didn't notice that. But if he had, he should have shaken her hand. I understand implicitly what the Democratic Party put Donald Trump through these last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to learn to get along with, you know, the Democratic Party. We've got to learn to work together. The Bible says to love your enemies. And there's much more Donald would like to do, you know, in terms of rebuilding this nation. And I just, you know, and perhaps Nancy was, you know, she was wrong at what she said and the way she reacted. I've never saw anything like that, you know, during a speech.
And no, none of us have. Thank you, Ron.
Sure.
Let's go to Brian in Rochester, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I couldn't believe it either when I seen that on a little short clip where she tore up the paper, and I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, it's pretty scary to me. I mean, to see that from a politician, and I mean, can you imagine the supporters, you know, how they're going to react to, you know, it's like the lack of professionalism. I thought we could always look to our leaders for that example, but I guess we can't anymore, you know.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your call here today. And again, we give out phone numbers where you can contact the White House. You can contact the Speaker's office to share your views. Let's go to Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Thanks for taking my call today. I mean, it's very, very childish, very, very disappointing. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters. We're supposed to be all Americans. And, you know, you're supposed to pray for your government and you know, that they would rule in a way, you know, compared to the Bible. I mean, they should. But you know, if I were to say, Jim, I don't like you, I'm tearing up your paper, that's not real mature.
Thank you, Al, for your thoughts. Julie in Parsonsburg, Maryland, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I so appreciate listening to all the comments and couldn't agree more. But we must realize that the darkness hates the light, and we are in a spiritual warfare here. As deplorable as what Nancy Pelosi did, when I think about it, I'm really not surprised. It shows what we're up against. And then watching in the whole Congress and, you know, things that should have been completely bipartisan, they just sat there and had scowled faces. And I was so proud and felt such gratefulness with how our president delivered this speech and all that he's accomplished in this administration. And I praise God that he raised him up for such a time as this. Oh, how we need to be in prayer and we need to go and vote. for the right and for righteousness. And I thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Julie. Let's go to Eddie next in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Jim. And I actually thought Nancy was tearing up the articles of impeachment. I didn't realize she was tearing up Trump's speech. But that was very unprofessional behavior. I'm very disappointed in Nancy Pelosi. I'm very proud of my president. I hope he continues to do the great job he's doing for our country. He truly is a president of the people, by the people, and for the people, and that's exactly what we need in the Oval Office.
Eddie, thank you for your comments. Burke, South Dakota, Kay, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and thank you so much for your program. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just calling to let you know that I did really appreciate President Trump, and his speech was just overwhelming, brought tears to my eyes, the things that he said and that he has done. And I'm so highly disappointed in Nancy Pelosi. I just called her office with that number you give out. And so I did leave a comment on that line.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But I just thank God for President Trump. And, yes, I agree with the lady that called before. We do need to get out and vote and let our voices be heard. So thank you.
Thank you, Kay. And one final call, this one from Corbin, Kentucky. And, Kim, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I was just wanting to let you all know that I'm a Democrat, and so are my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi has shamed all of us. Then I will never vote Democrat again. I did vote for Trump, and so did my parents. And we will be voting for President Trump again. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay. Thank you, Kim, for your participation in the program as well. A lot of thought coming across the nation here from state to state on this, and many, of course, expressing the huge disappointment and, shall I say, disgust we heard shared today toward that action of following the speech. Again, you can contact the White House with your comments. You can contact the Speaker's office, the White House, 202-456-1111. The Speaker's office, 202-225-4965. Keep in mind that in short time, the Senate is going to be coming together voting on the articles of impeachment. Just announced that Mitt Romney is going to be voting along with Democrats in this on that vote. And we don't know if other crossover votes here at this time. No doubt tomorrow we'll be addressing those on a planned news roundup, Lord willing, tomorrow on the broadcast. As others have said on the program, the importance indeed of praying for our president, be praying for our House and Senate leaders. Whether there's an R or D behind their name, we need to be praying for them. And certainly pray that those who don't know Christ as Savior would come to know Him. And certainly that each would recognize their accountability before Almighty God. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.